Open our Bibles this morning to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We've been talking about spiritual warfare, and there's all different levels of that. Warfare for government leaders and praying and doing deliverance of spiritual warfare. But we always mostly spend a lot of time. The warfare that we are in is regaining the land of our heart, where our personal warfare, we got to get the victory in ourselves, and then God can use us more and more out there in other types of warfare. But we're in all types of warfare all the time just through prayer. When you're praying for your government, that's spiritual warfare. Praying for your city, for the leaders, that's spiritual warfare. Praying for one another, that's spiritual warfare. And, of course, deliverance is spiritual warfare. All of that is spiritual warfare, all kinds of prayer, because our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities of powers, the rulers in the heavenly places, wickedness in heavenly places, and all of the demonic hosts, the kingdom of darkness. So we're in a battle 24 hours a day, as I've said. But the war is won in our heart, but we have a lot of mind battles. And those mind battles, Ted, could we put our picture up? Our mind battles, a lot of them come from our character traits that we haven't grown out of yet. And so we're going to talk a little bit about this today and a little bit more. And I sort of want to get down to, I know you have a lot of understanding of this already, but sometimes just getting down to the basic root answer and how to think and how to do it. And then it just comes down to doing it. Forget the whining, the complaining, because it's all negative. It's untrue according to the Word of God. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I've literally had to do this when I started ministry, coming out of the bar room and going into ministry. Every Sunday morning, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I would say that I'm getting up to the pulpit because I got this fear of standing and talking in front of people. And so I would just keep doing it. And it comes down to, we've been given all things that pertain to life and godliness. We are partakers of the divine nature. Jesus lives in me and he is more than enough. The righteous are bold as a lion. I would just quote those things, and no matter what situation I faced, then I would just do it because I knew what I had spiritually, even though I hadn't experienced it fully yet in my heart. I knew how it worked. This is what the Bible says. This is how the kingdom works. This is how the negative kingdom helps you to grow. This is why you count it all joy when you fall into the trials and temptations. It's the testing of your faith, which develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work. So I understand the process from the Bible, so then I just force myself to go through the process. And I had to work at so many things all at once. I didn't have time to whine about it or complain about it or this is so hard. Yeah, it's hard, but my life depended on it. My ministry depended on it. Survival of my family depended on it. My eternal destiny depended on it. So we have to see the big picture. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 to 4, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through the God to pulling down the strongholds. And strongholds, I believe in the Greek, that word comes out as strong thought patterns, which comes from strong character problems. And then the devil adds to that, and he uses that to work with. Jesus said, here comes the devil, he has nothing in me. So we have these strong patterns that we were born with, we inherited it, are developed over time in our lives, and You know, we, as I said before, every time we tried to determine to grow in the Lord or walk in love or do something, it's like all hell breaks loose. And our hearts are programmed with all of this stuff, and they're comfortable where they are, and they do everything. A heart does not want to change. We got to force it to change. We got to lay down our life for Jesus. See, it's the same as Jesus taught that, you know, love your enemies. Well, your heart doesn't feel like loving your enemy, does it? Because they hurt you or they said something bad and your heart wants justice and your rejection is hurt and your rebellion wants to strike back and your pride wants to tell them off. All of that stuff rises up. And so we know that that's not the way we should live. We need to love that person. And so then we do all that we can to love that person. We force ourselves to do it. Why? Because we love Jesus and we will obey him. And this is what Jesus said. Jesus said, if you put these words of mine into practice, you will build your house on a rock. And as we've taught many times, the only way to change our lives is through this sacrificial love for others. Is it easy? No, never said it was easy. Was it easy for Jesus to die? No. It was horrifying. Is it easy for us to die? No. Because our heart just screams contrary to everything that we want it to do. But we are in charge by faith, not by feelings. The feelings are in our heart. So by faith, we do the right thing no matter what. And as we keep doing it, then we are changed from glory to glory. And it doesn't come overnight. And so maybe we have a really strong problem and we're not changing fast enough and we give up. This ain't working. The word always works. It's a guaranteed victory. You just got to stick with it. And you can't see that you change from day to day, but you have changed. Because every act of love is a certain amount of change within your heart, even though you don't realize it. And as I've said many times, it's like when I was farming and we had a corn patch next to the long driveway going to the barn, we'd plant the corn and it would be growing, but you couldn't see the difference from day to day. You go away for 2 or 3 weeks and come back and it's growing a foot. Wow, did that ever grow while I was gone? But every day you look at it and you can't see it growing, but it's growing. And it's the same if we're living in the Spirit, this law of love, we're applying that. We are growing. We change from glory to glory. But it's a lifelong process. Now, I want to read Revelation chapter 10, verse 11. I could actually quote it to you, but let's go read it. Sometimes we read things, but we don't maybe fully comprehend what it means in the spiritual realm. 12 and verse 11, and they have overcome him. It's talking about the devil, the accuser of the brethren. He accuses them before our God day and night. And they have overcome him. The Christians have overcome him, the devil, by means of the blood of the Lamb and the utterance of their testimony, or the word of their testimony, for they did not love their life and cling to life even when faced with death, holding their lives cheap till they had to die for their witnessing. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. All right, we all should understand very simply what that means. The blood of the Lamb was the blood that cleansed us, that made us righteous, that sacrificed for us, that was the blood of the new covenant, gave us our new birth, the new identity that we have in Christ. All that we are is a new creation. We're accepted in the beloved. We receive the Holy Spirit as a down payment of our inheritance. All of these things, the blood of the Lamb has perfected us forever while we are being made holy, while we are being sanctified. All of that is the blood of the Lamb. And so that is our standing in Christ and what he's done for us, the whole concept of our identity with him and that he did it for us. And this is how we overcome the devil, by the blood of the Lamb. See, if we didn't understand what a covenant is and we don't know who we are in Christ and what we have in Christ, we can't even fight the battle. And we just are humans who are maybe good people and trying to be good and going to church every week, going through a religious thing, but never really getting the victory in any area of our life. All right? So they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. What does that mean? What is the word of our testimony? Before we get to that, let's turn to Galatians chapter 5. We'll deal a little bit more here with the blood of the Lamb. All right. Because of the blood of the Lamb, we are a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. We are partakers of the divine nature. Our spirit has been quickened and made alive, and the very nature of God has come into our spirit. The very nature of righteousness is in us, is inside of us. The problem for us is that all the stuff we have in our heart, which is this stuff here, and this is our subconscious mind. And people don't even understand how that works. But psychiatrists say it's what's in our subconscious mind that controls us. So we have our conscious mind where we can understand all these things, but then we have all this stuff in our heart, which is our subconscious mind, which is really controlling us. And our hearts are programmed this way, and they don't want to change. And then beyond all of that, we have our born-again spirit. So that's the problem. And all the problems in the church and in our life are caused by this and the things that have happened to us. But we are quickened and made alive, or the very nature of God has come into our born-again spirit. Jesus literally lives in you. You have access to his authority, his power, the whole power of the universe, the power of the throne, everything is available to you. This is why I say the key to victory is to realize you already got the victory. So this is the new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. And Paul in Romans says, Jesus died to sin once and for all. Consider yourself the same way. You're dead to the old man and alive to the new man. I was crucified with Christ, and I, as I know myself, no longer live. I live now this new life by faith in the Son of God who died for me. So if we think that way all at once, see, a lot of people are still living their life and trying to add Jesus a little at a time. Paul says, no, no, this thing is a done deal. Jesus has done it once and for all. You are born again. You have a new life. Now live that new life. But if you don't know what you have or what you are in Christ and what you have already in your born again spirit, how can you live it? Amen? Because the old life doesn't just disappear. You got to deny it. Take up your cross daily. You can't allow this to live in you any longer because now you have this. So let's look at Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit. Verse 22, this is what's in your born-again spirit. But the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the work which his presence within accomplishes, and the fruit of the Holy Spirit, but it's also the fruit of your born-again spirit, because in the Greek, that is a small s. His presence, which in it accomplishes, is love, joy, peace, patience, an even temper, forbearance, kindness, goodness, benevolence, faithfulness, gentleness, meekness, humility, self-control, self-restraint, countenance. Against such, there is no law that can bring a charge. So how are we supposed to think now? Wow. I have the love of God in me. I am full of the love of God. I have all the self-control that I need for every circumstance and situation. I have gentleness, I'm kind, I'm full of goodness, I'm faithful. All of these things is who I now am in Christ Jesus and what I have in my born-again spirit. Self-control is the thing that we really need. If we want to not allow this life, the old man, to rise up, because he's dead already, and we got to consider him dead. No, I'm just not going to live that way anymore. It's like I told you when I poured out my alcohol and threw my cigarettes away. I'm dead to you. We are crucified unto the world, and the world is crucified unto us. I have no more desire for it, and it cannot tempt me any longer. That is a reality in the spiritual realm because of the new birth that we have. And so I just determined that I have all the love in me that I need to change my life and to deal with every circumstance and situation, no matter how much rejection I had, no matter how much anger I had or rebellion I had, I'm going to walk in love no matter what. I'm not going to try and walk in love. I'm just going to do it because it's in there. And it's not going to come forth into my heart and part of my life until I make that decision. I know what's there. I set my face like flint. And if I'm mad at somebody, I just take the challenge. I'm going to love that person until they like me. See, Jesus doesn't play church. I don't play church either. And I can't play games with what God has given me. By faith, I implemented in my life. Was it easy? No. Sometimes I'd sit there and cry for 2 hours because it hurt so bad, all the lies and all the abuse and everything I was getting. When I got finished feeling sorry for myself, Lord, what do you want me to do? Then he would show me their problems. Then I would feel sorry for them. They were worse than I was. But I couldn't see their problems unless I had said, Lord, what do you want me to do for them? Because I would have been too busy crying for myself and feeling the blues and, oh, this is so hard. Oh, why did I ever enter the ministry? Oh, man, what did I get into? See what I'm saying? You have to fully believe. You've experienced Jesus, so you know this is true. This is what's in you. Whining won't get us anywhere. Complaining won't get us anywhere. Yeah, but I had this and this problem in my life. See, the first thing we have to do is deal with the past, inner healing of the emotions, forgiveness, praying for people that hurt us, make sure that's all released, and then we live by faith. That's why it's called faith, not feelings. But it will drastically, drastically change our life. It is a guaranteed victory. That's the way I always looked at it, so I just started living it. You may say, well, Pastor Hank, you're strong-willed. Well, it's God who works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Meditate more. Do whatever you have to do. You know, I really didn't spend a whole lot of time meditating. I was just busy teaching and doing ministry. And I just understood it, so I lived it. But God put those desires in me. Yes, I have a strong will, but that doesn't make it any easier. So it's the point that we got to decide. Do we really love Jesus? Are we going to live this message, or are we just going to keep going around in circles? And our heart doesn't want to change, so it will make all kinds of excuses not to change. It's too hard. We had people leave our church because they didn't want to live this message. They outright said, oh, I don't want to live at that. I don't want to put that much pressure on me to live like that. See, this isn't pressure. This is getting to know Jesus. And it's by his grace that we do it. But if I don't think that I'm full of love and I have all the love I need, or I don't have all the self-control that I need, then I'm not even going to try and because you're angry, you're mad, you want to rip somebody's face off. But wait a minute, I have all the self-control I need in me for this. And I'm not going to give in to it because I'm dead to that. It's not going to control me anymore. And I'm going to practice self-control. I don't care how mad I am. I don't care how much it hurts. I don't care how humiliated I am. Do you think it was easy for Jesus to go to the cross? Look how humiliated he was. Wow. And look at the suffering he went through. So this is what's in us. This is the new creation. This is who you are in Christ. This is what you have. This is what's available to you. This is the resources you have. The creator of the universe, the God of love, lives inside of you. That alone just blows me away. When you stop and think about it, the power of the universe, the kingdom of God is within you. All of this is in us. These self-help gurus haven't got a clue compared to what we have. But we have to implement it. And we have to make every effort. 1 Peter chapter 1, I think it is, verses 3 to 10 or 12. Make every effort to add to your faith goodness. Make every effort to add to your goodness something else and something else. And as you keep doing that, changes come. But if we don't do it, this can't be released because we are denying that it's there. And we have to do it by faith. But it is guaranteed to work. It's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus that set me free from the law of sin and death. Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It's a spiritual law. It's just like the law of gravity. If I drop this Bible, it's going to hit the ground. It works automatically. We just have to implement it in our lives. Just do it. Whining won't get it done. That's your own heart and the devil. Because your heart doesn't want to change. It's just living by faith. Those who overcome, I'll give the right to sit with me and rule on my throne, he said. Wow. I don't know about you, but I want to be as close to Jesus as I can get when I get to heaven. Nobody's going to take my place away from me at the table. It just works. This is what the Bible teaches. This is how it works. This is how the spiritual realm works. This is how the negative spiritual realm works. But if you do this, you have guaranteed victory, and that victory and that power is already in you. When you start doing that, now the Holy Spirit is released to work in your life. The grace of God is released to work in your life. When I did that with the alcohol and the cigarettes, the grace of God was released and gave me the victory. I had no withdrawal symptoms, and I stopped cold turkey. Kathy was amazed that I didn't have the heebie-jeebies or see things, pink elephants floating around or something. When I came out of the mental institution, the doctors gave me tranquilizers to use to keep my mind calm. And I went home and threw them away. I told the doctor, but he said, "You did what?" And they put me in Kathy's care, so if I misbehave, she can put me back in the hospital. But I got the victory. There was one incident where the devil tried to take my mind and it tried to go out the universe. It said, "Nope, that's my mind. You're staying here." It's the only time it ever happened, never happened again, and I was fine after that. Everybody was worried about me, and I'm just living a normal life. They're all thinking I'm something wrong with me. Nothing wrong with me. I got deliverance. I'm fine now. Can't tell the doctor that, though. All right, let's turn to Timothy. Which one? I'm not sure yet. Let me find it. Be first or second, one or the other. First Timothy. Just putting a few thoughts together for you here. Like, you've been taught a lot of this stuff, you understand a lot of this stuff, but I just zeroing in on some things here that we have to do, or it just will never get the victory. Certain ways that we have to think, because we're a new creation. You're born again. You don't remember the first time you were born, do you? But you had to learn everything as you grew, didn't you? But now you're born again into a whole new life, a whole new character. And you have to live this new character by faith, so the old one disappears and can't live anymore. But if you don't know this new character, guess what? The old one's going to keep living in you. This is why we have the scriptures in the heart seminar, and we handed them out before. Your identity in Christ, who you are in Christ, what you have in Christ, that's your new identity. That has to become real, more real to you than the problem that you may have that you're still trying to work through. And so then you meditate on those scriptures that you need. If you have a problem with anger and rebellion, then you meditate on the scriptures of love by faith. And realize, this is inside of me. Lord, help me. Make this real to me, Holy Spirit, so that I can live this by faith. Change my heart, change my desires, and get in the Word. I mean, you got the greatest teacher in the universe living inside of you. And He is there to sanctify you. And He's there to bring you truth in every circumstance and situation. I don't know, this is mind-boggling to me, this stuff that God has done. Like, I can never just accept it and forget it. Every time I teach it, I'm just so amazed at how God did this and set this all up and created our hearts and how all this works. And if I know how it works but can't be bothered to live it, guess where I'm going? Going downhill in a hurry. This is the whole point of the teaching ministry, to help us to become strong. So 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11. But as for you, O man of God, flee from all these things. He's just talking about the love of money and different things. Aim at and pursue righteousness. Seek you first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto me. See, the blood of the Lamb gives us all that we have in Christ and all that we are, and a new birth and a new identity. But we have to have all of that as a solid foundation so that now we can live that life. If you don't have the new identity, then you got to meditate on the scriptures. Go over them every night, read them out loud. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am the head and not the tail. I am a new creation in Christ. I'm a brand new person, a person that's never existed before. Wow. Well, who is this person? If I don't know what he's like, that's where the fruit of the Spirit comes in. That's the character of the new person. But you have to be humble to receive the grace of God. And it all starts to multiply as you start putting this into practice, humbling yourself, controlling your anger, be angry and sin not, control your anger. You have all the self-control you need. But as for you, O man of God, flee from all these things, aim and pursue righteousness, right standing with God, and true goodness, godliness, which is the loving fear of God and being Christ-like. The loving fear of God. The loving fear of God. Let me help you with that one for a moment, because we live in a nation where we're so blessed. The fear of God doesn't seem real sometimes. Turn to Deuteronomy 28. Actually, we're going to go to Deuteronomy 29 and verse 12. And Moses is reestablishing the covenant of Abraham with the people. God has just brought them out of Egypt. And he says, verse 12 and verse chapter 29, you are standing here in order to enter into a covenant with the Lord your God. That's what happened when we accepted Jesus and we were water baptized. A covenant the Lord is making with you this day and sealing with an oath. Here again is that oath. God swore by himself. See, you have the victory. If the victory wasn't there, God can't be God. But he's already done it. He's already given it to us. To confirm you this day as his people, that he may be your God as he promised you and as he swore to your fathers Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I am making this covenant with its oath, not only with you who are standing here with us today in the presence of the Lord our God, but also with those who are not here today. Verse 18, make sure there is no man or woman, clan or tribe among you today whose heart turns away from the Lord our God to go and worship the gods of those nations. Make sure there is no root among you that produces such bitter poison. See, in Hebrew it says, watch that no bitter root springs up among you, thereby defiling many. When such a person hears the words of this oath, he invokes a blessing on himself and therefore thinks, I will be safe even though I persist in going in my own way. Sloppy grace. This will bring disaster on the watered land as well as the dry. The Lord will never be willing to forgive him. His wrath and zeal will burn against that man. All the curses written in this book will fall upon him, and the Lord will not, or the Lord will blot out his name from under heaven. The Lord will single him out from all the tribes of Israel for disaster, according to all the curses of the covenant written in this book of the law. Whew. Oh, I'm saved by grace. I'm righteous now. Well, I can ask for forgiveness later. God's not going to be mocked. If you sow to the flesh, you're going to from the flesh reap corruption. See, I've often said that this state of grace that we are in, where we don't have to earn anything, is so awesome. But we need to have the fear of the Lord so that his grace can work through us and that we are humble before him. You see how this all ties together. Now, Deuteronomy, what happened was that Moses took them, went up on one mountain to pronounce the blessings of the covenant. Then he went on the other mountain and pronounced the curses of the covenant. If you hearken unto the Lord your God and keep his word, then all these blessings will come upon you and overtake you. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all these other things will be added to you. But then he went and pronounced the curses. And go to verse 54 in Deuteronomy 28, and you should read the curses once in a while. Because, and remember, communion is the blood covenant. Do this in remembrance of me. This is my blood of the new covenant. And if you take communion in an unworthy manner, this is why many of you sick are dying, Paul said. See, we have to understand these things and have the fear of the Lord. We need the fear of the Lord when we take communion. We can't just have it, do it because it's tradition and without checking our hearts or anything. Like I said, Jesus doesn't play church. To me, this is scary stuff, and it should be. And when he's pronouncing the curses, it's all these curses and afflictions and diseases that came from the Egyptians will come upon you if you do not hearken unto the word of the Lord your God, if you have idols and strange gods before me. An idol is anything you worship more than God. Maybe you're a talented musician. Well, then that's more important to you than God. And God will let some things happen to you until he becomes first in our lives. But listen to this in verse 54. It talks about them as a nation and the individuals that if they don't, he always gave them the victory. I mean, look at the miracles he did to bring them out of Egypt. Then we brought them into the promised land. He gave them victory after victory where they were mighty in battle and one could put 1,000 to flight. I think there was one time the man with the jawbone of a donkey killed 1,000 people or something. They were just empowered by God to do battle. But if they didn't live properly for him and had false gods, then God would take his, remove his hand from them, remove his blessings from them. Then, while he brought Babylon against them to overthrow them and take them into captivity because they just wouldn't listen. And he's talking here about if you don't listen, then your enemy will come and besiege your city. And what they used to do was surround the city and starve them out. And he says in 54, even the most gentle and sensitive man among you will have no compassion on his own brother or the wife he loves or his surviving children. The most compassionate man. See, we don't understand wickedness, but this is when God removes his hand because we will to do our own thing, then we can fall under the kingdom of darkness and it can get this bad. And this is what part of the curse. And he will not give to one of them any of the flesh of his children that he is eating. The most sensitive man, the most compassionate man, will get to a point because of the disobedience of the nation and the enemy that's attacking. The most sensitive man will not have compassion for his wife and his kids, and he'll be eating some of his kids, and he couldn't care less and won't give the food of that child to the others. Now, if that doesn't scare you, I don't know. Like, I don't want to mess with God. I want to live for him. I want the blessings to overtake me. Like, people don't understand this wickedness increasing. We were talking at the Bible study the other night, and Dave was just sharing with us about how bad Trinidad has gotten, where you used to be able to walk around in the streets, but now, once it's dark, everybody's in their house. They don't dare go outside because this wicked element has come in, and they kidnap children and get the ransom, and then even after they get the ransom, they find their kids cut up in pieces in different places, and this happens in Nepal. It happens in different countries. It's just that wickedness. And there's corruption with the police force, and the police force will rent their uniforms to the bad guys, and the bad guys can walk around as policemen and just do whatever they want. And, I mean, it's just uncontrolled wickedness. And to do that to a child for the little bit of money they get to cut that child, I mean, that is just utter wickedness that I can't even comprehend. I mean, and this is what ISIS is doing in the Middle East. Just no regard for human life whatsoever, and they're doing it in the name of their God. But this is the most gentle man. It will be all he has left because the suffering of your enemy will inflict on you during the siege of your cities. The most gentle and sensitive woman among you, so sensitive and gentle that she would not venture to touch the ground with the sole of her foot, will begrudge the husband she loves and her own son or daughter, the afterbirth from her womb and the children she bears. The most gentle and sensitive woman will not even give the afterbirth or the child that's born for food to the rest of her family. This is talking about eating your kids. And then not even sharing them. Like, the kingdom of darkness has phenomenal power. You know, this whole world is really protected by God. Not just the Christians. But wickedness is increasing in the last days. I'm not saying this to scare you that this is going to happen to us. No, we know the Lord, but we need to see the severity and the goodness of God. We've seen the goodness of God, but we need to understand the severity of God if we're going to have any fear of the Lord. For she intends to eat them secretly during the siege and in the distress that your enemy will inflict on you in your cities. Wow. This is the whole thing about humanity. The most wicked, evil man can turn into a good person by the power of God, but a most sensitive person can turn into a wicked person by the kingdom of darkness. Depending on the circumstances and the situations that we're in. I want to live with a hedge of protection around me, especially the places where I travel. I pastor the way I do, to the best of my ability, in the fear of the Lord. I'm more afraid of God than I am of people. So I will stand up to something that is wrong, and I will not give in to it, because I'm going to be judged for how I pastor. I'm not intimidated by anybody or anything. And I refuse to be intimidated by anybody or anything. I speak with the elders, get counsel from them. I think we have enough wisdom in the Holy Spirit and no one understanding enough to know what the right thing is to do and how to handle it. Irregardless of who it is or what they say or what they're going to do or the threats they make, well, you do this, I'm leaving. The door is over there. Goodbye. We'll pray for you. God, pray to God, will straighten you out. But you're not going to run this church with your attitude. It's just the way it is because we have fear of the Lord. All right? And I think just reading the curses will help put the fear of the Lord in us if that's what we need. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Wow. And you know, even in this whole faith movement, it's like God is like a candy machine. You stick a quarter in and get a candy bar out or something, you know. It's just, there's no reality to it. It's just, I am the righteousness of God. I've arrived. I have the power. I have this. You know, it's like entitlement. And there just isn't a whole lot of the fear of the Lord. All right, we're back in 1 Timothy chapter 6, let me read verse 11 again. Oh, wow, we're getting on here. All right, let me speed up a bit. But as for you, O man, O God, flee from all these things, aim at and pursue righteousness, right standing with God, and true goodness, godliness, which is the loving fear of God, and being Christ-like, faith, love, steadfastness, patience, and gentleness of heart. Fight the good fight of the faith. Fight the good fight of the faith. Here's spiritual warfare. Here's the battle that we're in. Fight the good fight of faith. Do it God's way, no matter what your emotions are saying, no matter what your heart is screaming at you. You don't want to change. Shut up, heart. You're changing. You're not in charge. It's my mind that tells my heart what it's going to do. Because God is greater than my heart. When my heart condemns me, I ask for forgiveness. I make it right. Still condemns me. Shut up, heart. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. But I need to repent and make it right first, instead of just confessing I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. God is greater than my heart. And the Bible says just continue walking in love, and that will put your heart at rest in His presence, because God is greater than your heart. So if I want God, I got to live beyond what's in my own heart. Because in my own heart is the old self, and that sucker is not going to run my life. He's dead. I'm a new creation in Christ. In the presence of God who preserves alive all living things. Are we a living thing? And of Christ Jesus, who in His testimony before Pontius Pilate made the good confession, I solemnly charge you to keep all His precepts unsullied and flawless, irreproachable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Anointed One. Wow. So here we see Jesus, who is our example, who in His testimony before Pontius Pilate made the good confession. By the word of their testimony, that's how we overcome. Jesus, when he's facing death and the cross, he's already been in the garden. He already knows what's coming, how horrifying it's going to be. In the garden, he said, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow, even to the point of death." He knows before he is crucified, he's going to be whipped, pulling out his hair and all those things. And the word of his testimony was, "I am a king, and for this reason I was born, to bear witness to the truth. Everybody that listens to truth or desires truth listens to me." See, that was the word of his testimony in the face of death. So for us, in the face of having to die ourselves, to die to that anger or that demand for justice when somebody offends us, first of all, we love them and we pray for them. And so in the face of all of that anger, the word of our testimony is, "I'm a new creation. For this reason, I was born again, to bring testimony of the life of Jesus that's in me. I have all the love that I need for this situation, and I have all the self-control that I need for this situation." That is the word of our testimony in faith. Now the power of the Holy Spirit is released to help us through that and do that. The other option is that we whine and complain and "Oh, I can't seem to get the victory. Oh, I can't do that." The victory is guaranteed, but you have to take that step of faith or it's never going to happen. And that's why Christians are going around the mountain in the wilderness for 40 years and never getting into the promised land, because of the word of their testimony. The word of God. Turn to Isaiah chapter 55. We'll end with that. I'm teaching this with determination today because that's the way I applied it in my life. I'm not trying to beat anybody down here or tell you what you have to do. It's all by grace. But we have to be true to our word that we love Jesus. But not in a legalistic sense, because as we do this, we experience him more and we want to do more. It's him working in us. I do it because I love him, not because I have to. And this is the way that I'm just being this way, because we have to be that determined in faith because of what Jesus has already done for us and what's inside of us. And anger, you're not going to control my life any longer. You're dead to me and I'm dead to you. You're not going to tempt me any longer. See, we're tempted when by our own evil desires we are dragged away. And we get thinking about what that person did to us, and then the sin nature kicks in, and that becomes stronger and stronger, and then we want to do this and want to do that. And, you know, I told you that story about the guy I wanted to beat up because I gave him money and clothes, and he went and got in a fight instead of going to look for a job. And I just wanted to beat him up so bad. I wanted to finish it off, put him in the hospital. And the Lord said, "Go give him $50. What? I had no idea what the Lord was talking about, what he was doing, until later on and started teaching. But I did it anyways because he said to do it. And Kathy confirmed, sounds like God to me, so I had to do it. Isaiah 55, verse 11. You can read the whole chapter, actually. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, without producing any effect, useless. But it shall accomplish that which I please and purpose, and it will prosper in the things for which I send it. That's the word of our testimony. Amen. We're speaking what God has accomplished in us. It is his will for us to speak that in that situation, and it will accomplish. God swore by himself. He's the one that's working in us. See, we're just cooperating with the Holy Spirit so that the Holy Spirit can release his power and his energy within us. Do you think the Holy Spirit is going to release the grace of God in our lives to help us when we're whining and complaining. Oh, I can't do this. What do you mean you can't do it? I died so you could do it. You see, we got to understand it this way, or it's not important enough. We just sort of keep complaining. Well, you don't know what I've been through, Pastor. Well, you don't know what I've been through. I don't care what anybody's been through. This works, but you have to work it. Be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. But it's the word of their testimony. This is my testimony. I've been born again. And what all of that means, and the word of that testimony, is that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm full of the love of God. I'm going to love that person until he submits his heart to Jesus, no matter what happens. And in the process, I'm going to grow and change and get to know Jesus better, and I'm going to do it because I love him. I'm going to love my enemy because I love Jesus. I can do it because his love is in me. I have all the self-control that I need over this anger that I have, over this frustration. I got all the peace of God that I need. I just need to spend some time with him and grow in him. And so this is what I'm going to do. Shut up, heart. Shut up, old man. You're dead. I buried you. I'm crucified to the world, and the world's crucified to me. I was crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. The life I live now, I live by the Son of God who died for me. As I've said before, you go to a funeral, and there's a dead man in the casket. You can take a needle this long and stick it in him, and he's not going to complain at all because he's dead. You can tell him his mother wore army boots, and he won't get mad at you because he's dead. See, consider yourself dead once and for all. This anger is not going to control me anymore. This frustration is not going to control me anymore. This gossip is not going to control me anymore. I am dead to it once and for all because I got this glorious new life. This is the way we need to think if we're going to have victory as Christians. So whatever area in your life that you're dealing with, this is how you apply faith. And this is how you overcome, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. And if you don't know the power of the blood of the Lamb and what it's done for you and who you are in Christ, then you have no word of testimony. That sort of breaks that all down into a very practical way. I hope this is, I'm not trying to beat you over the head, I hope I've encouraged you to understand how to live it and not take this in a legalistic way, because it's all done by the grace of God, but we have to implement it by faith or nothing works. But your faith, it's not in whether you can do it or not. Your faith is in what Jesus accomplished. And having the revelation of that and then applying it by faith. Because of your fear of the Lord and your love for Jesus. These are the foundational teachings of the word of your testimony and the blood of the Lamb. So I hope that's helped you. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, that you stir up our hearts constantly by your Holy Spirit. Continue to give us understanding for every circumstance and search situation. And Father, we realize we're going to make mistakes until we get the full victory. But we thank you, Jesus, that you have perfected forever those who are being made holy. We understand it's a process. You understand it's a process. We don't grow up overnight, but we're going to keep applying this by faith in our lives because we love you, Jesus, not because we have to or following some rules to getting acceptance. You've already accepted us. We are your children. You're disciplining us, and you want us to grow, and we want to respond in a proper way because we love you. So we thank you, Father, for this awesome plan. Thank you for giving us the wisdom to understand how it works in our lives so that we can always come back to you, always enjoy your presence, that we never get so far away that we get so confused we don't even know where you are anymore. You're always right there inside of us, always with us. Your life is always there. You never leave us or forsake us. Thank you for the Holy Spirit who helps us and guides us through these problems and situations. We thank you that you live inside of us, Father. Thank you, Jesus, that you're inside of us by the power of your Holy Spirit. Thank you for the new birth. Thank you for this miraculous, miraculous thing that you have done through your death for us, Lord Jesus. You died so that we could have this. Now we're going to die to the old self so we can live this new self by faith. Lord, help us to set our face like flint, to understand this so deep in our heart and the importance of it because of your love for us and what you went through for us, that we will never veer and get into a ditch or into a spiritual rut, but that we will constantly live for you and look forward to the day of your coming. We give you all the praise and honor and glory, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Now all we have to do is do it. We got the blueprint. We got the power. Everything is there for us. All right. Well, God bless you.